أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. In these times I feel that I need to say a few words regarding what is happening in the country, the riots that we have been witnessing, the comments from various people, the confusion, the anger. And inshallah, we'll say a few words regarding the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in. And these two are very much connected and related. The Ahlul Bayt are not irrelevant to the current context. The Ahlul Bayt are not historical figures that we admire. They are people who are living, their legacy lives. They live through the 12th Imam, Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, and their efforts live and they continue to move towards a world that does not see what we are seeing. A few words regarding the situation. I don't think any of us, at least, has any doubt, or I hope so, that the police system, there's a distinction between individual police officers and the system of policing. I have personally come in contact with numerous very good police officers that have, as far as I could see, intended good, were very helpful, and understood in some cases when they were responsible to take care of measures that the system imposed on them, they understood that those measures were not necessary when they were affecting people and disturbing them by wasting their time at airports and so on and so forth. And I'm sure there are many that understand the wrong in what has happened, and many of those perhaps that are even there carrying out orders in Minneapolis and in other cities where the riots are happening are not in favor of what they are doing. I think that that is the case. There are individual. But that's not the focus. The focus is the system. The system, the police system in this country is not here to protect the people, is not here to bring justice to the people. That's just not the case. Because it is an instrument as a system, not the individuals again. It is as a system, it is an instrument of enforcing what is identified as law by a government that is led by the interests of a minority. And so the police is enforcing the interests of a minority. Whatever else is done on the side is just, again, even keeping order, traffic laws, and so on and so forth. Obviously, for that minority, it is much more pleasant to have smooth traffic in various cities when they want to travel from point A to point B, instead of getting stuck in traffic and so on. They would like to have it organized, but that's for their interest. The police system is not a system that is here for the people, for justice. And so expecting this police system and the government to act in a just way and bring justice is based on a wrong understanding. And if this is what the riots are for, I think that people who are involved in these riots should rethink what they are doing. If we were dealing with a situation where the system was a good system, was a just system, then an individual, quite contrary to what we described of the situation, an individual abused their power and they acted unjustly towards a particular individual, and you're protesting why that person did that, and you're expecting the system to bring justice to that individual. And if there are any backers of that person within the system, because even in good systems, you might have a handful of people that help each other in doing wrong and escaping law. That can happen. And for people to protest is completely understandable in that scenario. But what we are dealing with is not such. The police, the court system, the government, the Congress, they are all backing each other up to expect that now they're going to do something that would be identified as justice is just, as long as this system is in place, to expect justice is more similar to a dream that cannot be interpreted. It's wishful thinking. It's not a reality that can be expected. In order to have justice, you need to establish a just system. And the protest against the unjust system should not be something that is limited to such outbreaks of injustice. The injustice of this system is daily, throughout the year, and the decades, and the centuries. That's something that I would like to bring our attention. If we are silent when this system, we call it our system, and it gets involved in what we can clearly see as injustice in regards to people that live outside the borders of the United States of America, when we see that injustice, if we think that by not saying anything there, minding our own business, that's irrelevant to us, that that's going to be anything in our favor, no, this is what's going to happen when you are okay with the oppressions of the system abroad, then you should expect the oppression of the system at home. That's simply what's going to happen. That's the formula that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala governs this universe. It's His government. He's the king. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ He's in charge. If we people decide to be okay with any injustice and with the system of injustice to be in place, if we're going to be okay with that, if we're not going to do something to remove the system of injustice and establish a system of justice, if we're not going to do that, then we can't expect to see justice. If we identify justice today to be bringing that particular police officer to justice somehow by, I don't know, putting him in prison or taking away his badge and so on and so forth, which are really not forms of justice. This is not justice. He deliberately took the life of another human being, completely unjustified. And so he deserves something similar to that, whatever people think is their thing, but you know, anything less than that would not be justice, and that's what Islam says. If someone deliberately takes the life of another human being, the family members have the right to bring that person to justice by taking the life of that person. A life for a life. That's just how the Islamic system of justice, which is justice, works. If we expect that we're going to divert from that system of justice and say, no, we don't like this, we don't like taking a life here, well, then you're going to have a country that is filled with murder. You have one of the highest figures of murder compared to the rest of the world. And you're going to have police brutality like this and other forms of brutality. And people are not going to be held accountable. That's what Islam says, the Quran says, that in qisas, which is the right of the family members of the deceased, the murdered, to bring that person to justice by taking their life. This is called qisas. Fil qisas hayatun. There's life in it. It looks like taking a life, but it's preserving life. If that life is taken, the option is given. If the family members decide to take that option, take that life, one life is taken. Many more are saved because people will not feel comfortable. They will know that if they take a life, their life will be taken. They will think not twice, many more times. But if they think that they can get away with it by getting a lawyer to simply perhaps remove them from duty or their position or their particular location or any other way, or even in being incarcerated for a few years, whatever those few years, that number can equal to, then if a person thinks that that's the case and they can work their way around it, and if they're incarcerated because of that, eventually they can leave and get out of it one way or another, then you will have the system we have here. The system has got to change, brothers and sisters. The protests should be directed towards that. I don't see the protests being directed towards that. Coming out, burning places, burning businesses, disturbing people is not something that people would do. I have very strong doubt and I have certainty, actually, that the African-American community are not the ones that are causing the destruction. I have reasons to believe that there are others behind that. People who are angry at what happened, at what a police officer did, are not going to go and destroy what belongs to someone who had nothing to do with the situation. That's not what people, good people do, and these are good people. The people in this country, the people, not the system. The people are good people. People would not go and do that. There's other hands involved. And so we don't recommend that. We do not approve of doing injustice. We cannot justify certain acts with an injustice being done. You cannot meet injustice with another injustice. Injustice can only be met with justice. That police officer must be brought to justice. But I don't think that this system has got any level of justice in it to be able to bring that person to justice. And therefore, the protests should be directed towards a change in the system, the removal of corruption. From the foundations up, the whole thing has got to change to a system of justice. And we hope that the people in this country, the good people in this country, more and more realize this fact and this reality and move in that direction, inshallah. Regarding the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, wa ruhi lahumul fida, the Ahlul Bayt were the meaning of justice, meaning what they did was justice. We are able to determine justice based on their behavior. They were so pure, the purest that anyone, any human being could be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself
is الملك القدوس. He's the sovereign, the king, the ruler, the one who rules everything. No one can lift a finger without his will. He is the only one that has absolute power, and no one can even question him. Yet with all of that power, he is قدوس. قدوس emphasizes on so many different levels on the purity of any type of speck of even impurity that would lead to injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is قدوس. And he sends his Ruhul Qudus, the pure spirit, to accompany his prophets so that they are kept and preserved and they are purified. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. God has purified the Ahlul Bayt. As humans, there's not a speck of corruption, anything that would lead to corruption, anything that would lead to a decision made to prefer their own rights over anyone else's, to violate anyone else's right over theirs for their own purpose, for their own benefit. They have that tahara. This is what tahara means. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا means that they have, their souls have been purified. There is no trace of wrong, of evil that would be in Ali ibn Abi Talib, of Imam al-Mujtaba, in any of the Imams, the 12th Imam, Ajjalallah Ta'ala, Farajahu al-Sharif. This is who the Ahlul Bayt are. Ahlul Bayt are the ones that we identify justice and what just behavior is based on their behavior. Why? Because they're tahir. They are purified. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the Quddus, the all pure, beyond our imagination, has purified them. Therefore, what they do is justice. This is who the Ahlul Bayt are, salamullah alayhim. This is why they are supposed to be governing. When you have a person that does not have that purity, and they have authority, whatever level of authority, a police officer has got a limited level of authority. He can stop cars, question them, ask them for their IDs. And he has that gun with him. And he is authorized to use it based on his judgment in certain cases. But if that person has got impurity in him, he will use it in other cases and justify it. This is what's going on. Even if the law was justified. The problem we have with the system is that the laws are not justified. The laws are the result of a number of people who are not pure, who do not know what justice means, coming together and the majority agreeing to something becoming law, and that somehow becomes justified, and that somehow is justice. That is not justice. You cannot have a system that is based on the whims of a whole bunch of a couple hundred impure individuals that are there based on their personal desires, their interests, which leads those who are looking for their interests and they have more money to come to them, and together they form the elite. These people sitting together and deciding as a majority what the law should be, what justice should be, that's not going to be justice. But besides the point, if you even had a just system, laws that were coming from Allah, they were based on the justice that God presents. He tells us how to regulate our relationships. He tells us, he says, I've created you. I know male, female, adult, child, family, society, commerce, economics, politics, everything. All these relations, I have created you with all these relations, and I'm telling you, this is how you should regulate it to get these positive results. And that is what justice is. If you have a system that presents these just laws, a person who is not purified, if they are put in power, if they're given that authority, the laws are just, but who's going to implement the law? This impure individual, this person that has got their whims, their interests. They are willing for their interest to sacrifice the rights of others, violate the rights of others to get to what they desire. This is what impurity means. If you have a system that the laws are correct, but you have this individual that is put in charge to implement that system, what's going to be the result? He will come out and implement it the way he wants, and he will justify it. It's very simple. This is throughout history, this is what's happened. When you remove Ali ibn Abi Talib from power, you don't give him authority, where the Prophet said he is the purified soul. He is the nafs of the Prophet. He is my brother and my successor. He is your Amir. He is Amirul Mu'mineen. They said, we don't want this other person. The laws, they all said, we're all Muslim. The laws of the Prophet, whatever the Prophet said. Okay, here's the book and there's the Sunnah of the Prophet. You saw it. But what happens? The person is in charge, is not a purified soul. What do? They start using those laws against the laws. They start using them the way they want. And it's not just in Islam. The history of prophets is like that. Look at the Quran and what it says in regards to the Ahbar and the scholars. That's the word used for the rabbis. The scholars of Banu Israel, they knew what the law was. They were not purified. They justified, they twisted, they implemented based on their desires and whims. The Torah had nur, it had guidance in it. They didn't change the wording of it. They applied it differently. An impure soul is going to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in governance, you're supposed to have the Ahlul Bayt, the purified ones. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا is one of the verses that can clearly be seen as a justification. Why? The Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet were the ones to govern after the demise of the Prophet. Because in order to implement the just system of the Prophet, you need that purified soul. You need a person that is purified like that. He needs to be in charge. And then under Amirul Mu'mineen, yes, if someone, you could be, not everybody in government, a system of government is not a one-man show. Ali ibn Abi Talib isn't alone. He has Ziyad ibn Abi, that later switched sides and went to Muawiyah. But Amirul Mu'mineen is in charge. If he does injustice, Ali ibn Abi Talib will bring his own governor to justice. Because he's the one overseeing the whole thing. He's the one that has ultimate authority. A purified soul has ultimate authority. If people under him start going astray, they start doing injustice, as soon as anyone reported anything wrong from a governor, he didn't suddenly come to a decision regarding that person, because you can't jump to conclusions. But he took every little hearsay very seriously. He would quickly write a letter to them. I have heard you're doing this. If this is true, you are removed. The person is responsible. If it's true, you're no longer there. You make that decision. And if the person persisted, and the person continued, Amir al-Mu'mineen would go in and take them out once it's clear that the person has actually was involved in that injustice deliberately, and it was not a mistake. If it was a mistake, fix it. If it was deliberate, that person is no longer just and needs to be removed from that position when he has that authority. When we talk about the government of the 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, the globe will be under the rule of a purified soul, Imam al-Hujja Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. He himself is purified. The laws that he will make his system based on are coming from al-Malikul Quddus, the purified Lord, the pure, I shouldn't say purify, that's not a correct term to use. Al-Quddus, the pure, purity comes from him. He is pure, he's not purified. The Ahlul Bayt are purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is not purified. The laws come, the system comes from the all pure, from the Quddus, and is implemented. The ultimate authority is Imam al-Hujja Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. You can imagine what that system is going to be. That's why it's going to be a great system. That's why everyone will be enjoying their rights, really. Not that in our constitution we say all people are created equal. I'm not even sure if that's the wording of it, because when they wrote that, they didn't consider women people, and they didn't consider slaves, the Africans they brought, to be human. When they wrote that, what they intended of it, and a text speaks, or is the language of those who wrote it, they didn't include them. They considered a certain part of the population to have equal rights, which they didn't even believe in that, because the way they acted is completely different. I don't know where they got the idea of putting that in the Constitution. That's not what they believed. Even to that limited form, they didn't believe in it. They believe that if you have power, if you have wealth, if you have intelligence, if you can screw people's lives, take their land, and make it yours, you should be the authority of the land. That's what their view was, based on their conduct, based on their behavior, based on what they did. They took out all the underprivileged, the oppressed people of America under the British Empire, and they told them, we need to liberate this country from the British and their atrocities. So they went and fought, they shed blood, they made the revolution happen. The average people, yes, they were fed up with the injustice, but those who led that revolution abused the rights of these average people. They didn't shed blood. None of them died. They all became the ones who formed the Constitution. When they did, and prior to that, whatever other document they put together, and they ruled on the backs and on the blood of the average American that was fed up with the injustice of the British, and then they were faced with another unjust system. When the 12th Imam comes, and this is why Islam says what it says. It's not a privilege of a person. It's not royalty. It's not because he carries the blood of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. No. We had Ja'far al-Kadhab, the uncle of the Imam. He's mal'oon. Doesn't matter, you have the blood of the Prophet or you don't. It's who you are. It's not lineage in itself. If the person is purified. This is what the government of the Ahlul Bayt is. This is what the system of the Ahlul Bayt that inshallah will be established by the Imam of our time. Last point regarding that, which is related to us and in a sense related to now as well. Let me start with right now. The reason why the idea of Wilayatul Faqih is mentioned is for that reason as well. Wilayatul Faqih is this, that a person who knows what God's law is, how God wants his people to be governed, what his regulations are for the lives of people on a social level, on an economic level, on a political level, who should have power and who should, someone who knows that law, this is a faqih. But although they're not purified like the Ahlul Bayt are, in that sense, but they have been able to purify themselves and reach a level that they do not deliberately commit a single sin. That's what idala means. A person who's struggling, they're not able to implement the laws. They cannot control their desires. They cannot control their looks. They cannot control the money that they see before them. If it belongs to someone else, they will take it and then they will justify it. No, not that type of a person. Not that type of a mu'ammam. Don't think that wala'atul faqih means someone like me has the right to rule, even if I have knowledge of the laws. No, it's got to be someone who is adil, someone who has got justice, someone who implements the just laws of Islam. They have full control of themselves at a level that a non-imam and non-ma'soom in that sense can have, because the level of purity of the Ahlul Bayt is way above. And of course, if we get to a certain level of purity, it is evident from what the 12th Imam has said and done during the minor occultation and the history of the major occultation. If you purify yourself to a certain degree, then you will have direct connection, not physical and material, although that's sometimes there as well, but there is direct connection with that pure source. And if that direct connection is there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has Ruhul Qudus, that he helped prophets with Ruhul Qudus, he will help that purified alim, that mujtahid, that faqih. He will help that faqih with the Ahlul Bayt, with the Imam of our time. That connection is going to cause the Imam to control the decisions of that person. He doesn't go astray. There's a certain level of purification that a person goes through. And once they go through that level of purification and they become mukhlis, they do ikhlas, they purify themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them, they become mukhlas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies them. Not at the level of the Ahlul Bayt, that's, no one is comparable to them. But this is something we have. Mukhlasun are mentioned in the Quran. There's no verse in the Quran that says mukhlasun are limited to prophets. Imams are beyond that. They are mukhlas, but above all, without any comparison, no one can be compared to them. But mukhlasun, a person can become a mukhlas, someone who's been purified, through whom? The 12th Imam, ajalallahu ta'ala, for him. This is the concept of wala'atul faqih. If there is a faqih that has given everything he has in purifying, in implementing the just laws of Allah in their life and in social life, in the society they live in, the community they live in, if they do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them. If people come towards that person, if people come towards that person and listen to that person, because people need to agree to that. We've had numerous fuqaha that have been waliyul faqih throughout this time. People were not ready. People didn't come to them and say, we are willing to follow you, you govern us. They didn't come. This is a recent development that believers are coming to the faqih and saying, we want you to govern. We accept you and no other as the governor, based on what the imams have said. The imams have said this. We didn't create this. Nobody created that. It's the words of the Ahlul Bayt, Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayh, the 12th Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, and then the conduct of Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Kadhim, Imam al-Ridha, Imam al-Jawad, Imam al-Hadi, Imam al-Askari, and the 12th Imam, their conduct, their seerah was this. It wasn't created by any particular individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the system. If He took the 12th Imam from us until the time is ready for the globe to have a leader as such, He has given us a guidance that during this time, if you are ready to accept the governance of the 12th Imam, go to one of the students of the Ahlul Bayt that is purified, that is adil. If they are, the Imam of our time has said, فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ. They are my hujjah on you, and I am God's hujjah. These are the words of the 12th Imam. Exactly. This is the path. This is for right now. The part about us, which is very important. The 12th Imam, عَجَّلَ ta'ala فَرَجَهُ الشَّرِيفِ, is purified. He will govern. The government, though, is not something that is going to be a one-man show. As we said, during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that wasn't the case. He had governors, various. One of the things that needs to happen, and we need to prepare ourselves, and the 12th Imam has actually guided us in that regard. One of the lines we had in Dua al-Iftitah in the month of Ramadan, that he has told us to repeat this daily, is... وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الدُّعَاتِ إِلَىٰ طَاعَتِكَ, if I got the wording right. O Allah, make us in the government of the 12th Imam. When he arrives, when he sets up his government, that from that line that starts, اللهم إِنَّا نَرْغَبُ إِلَيْكَ فِي دَوْلَةٍ كَرِيمَةٍ, that is the government of the 12th Imam. We have hope towards it. And then we say, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الدُّعَاتِ إِلَىٰ طَاعَتِكَ فِيهَا مِنَ الدُّعَاتِ إِلَىٰ طَاعَتِكَ. Make us of those that call people towards your guidance in that government. You're obeying you. That's following the guidelines of Allah, the justice, implementing. In other words, through that line, that's the wording that's there about accepting governmental roles in the government of the 12th Imam. You're calling to the obedience of Allah, not me. Even the 12th Imam never says, obey me as myself. Obey me because God said for you to obey me. And what I will tell you is not based on what I want. I will tell you what God wants. There needs to be people that are ready. There needs to be people. During the period of occultation, enough people need to be trained, brothers, sisters, that they are going to be so pure, they have a spiritual connection with the 12th Imam, purified mukhlas through the guidance of the Imam, that the globe will be governed based on God's just rules, and no governor in any part of the world will give himself the liberty of doing anything other than what God says. All the rights that God has given to all people, the resources of the world needs to be available to all people, distributed justly between all people, and nobody should be deprived. Just imagine, the whole globe will be developing. Everybody will have access to knowledge. Everybody will have access to resources. Everybody will have access to development. So many minds that are capable of developing human society to a much greater degree do not have access to such opportunities. That system is going to be possible. But there needs to be people that have trained themselves. You and I, brothers and sisters, we can purify ourselves. We try our best. We keep doing istighfar. Every time we make a mistake, we say, oh Allah, I made a mistake. Please help me. Try harder next time not to make that same mistake. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are persistent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. He will. That's the acceptance of tawbah. That's the acceptance of tawbah when we stop committing sins. The acceptance of full tawbah, the tawbah tun nasuh, as the verse says in the ahadith explain, tawbatun nasuh, When it's accepted, that means the person does not commit any sins. And then when that person does not commit any sins, then gradually, a little more than that, a little more dhikr, a little more connection with the Ahlul Bayt, with the Imam of our time, then they can become mukhlas. You and I can. It's available. Let's not be so busy with all these other things. We can be part of the effort of the 12th Imam. Be connected to him. Wouldn't it be beautiful that when he comes, he would call upon us and say, I want this person, I want you to come and work for me here. I trust you to do this work for me. And then you'll be in more contact with the 12th Imam. This is something we have available to us. When he comes, he will need ready people. And people who are not ready, maybe they can start getting ready, but they've lost that chance right at the beginning. And in fact, as we have in our sources, in our ahadith, and what the ulama have experienced based on those ahadith, what the purified people, ulama and non-ulama, it's not only ulama because they have learned, they are clear, or we can more clearly identify them as people who know the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt. But there are non-ulama, meaning people who didn't spend time in the Hawza, but they learned enough for themselves from the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt and implemented and purified themselves. During this time, we can have that connection with the 12th Imam. The 12th Imam comes and visits a person, and that's one of the most beautiful experiences. In fact, I don't know a more beautiful experience in this world than being able to be in the presence of the 12th Imam, hear the 12th Imam, him speak to you, him trust you. That's just too much. Trust you with work. You do this. The heart should tremble just thinking about that. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us with this. We see the injustices and the unjust system. I saw an interesting tweet today. This country, with the track record it has, the spokesperson for the State Department had the audacity to criticize human rights violations by China in Hong Kong. The response that the Chinese counterpart gave was, I can't breathe. This authority that considers itself the police of the world, that steals those resources to bring it to this country, even within the borders of this country, is not just towards its people, and it's a systematic thing. Not only is a person who has clearly committed a crime not brought to justice, many times they are promoted. The military figures, the Navy figures that shot down a passenger airliner that killed over 200 innocent people. It was a passenger airliner. Clearly passenger airliner in all the signals. They were not military personnel. There were men, women, and children on board that airliner flying from Iran to Dubai in the Persian Gulf. The U.S. Navy shot that airliner down to make a point to the Islamic Republic. The captain of the ship is promoted for his services to this country. What service? This is the system of injustice that we're dealing with. And a similar trend can be seen. It's, as I said, there's no difference. If you have an unjust system, don't think that the injustice is only going to be in foreign policy. Some people have this confusion. I think they're only justifying it for themselves, justifying their laziness, justifying their want to get closer to that tyrant, to the taghut, to be accepted by the taghut. Otherwise, it's pretty clear. If it's an unjust system, if it does injustice to people abroad, then it will do injustice to people here. And you will get that one day, if it's not today, some other time. We have plenty of hadith from the Ahlul Bayt. This is how the system works. If you don't stand against oppression, you will be oppressed by that system as well. We live in this world, and this is the situation. We have believers that are working towards changing that, providing a people want to stand up on their feet. They want to be independent of this tyrant and not do what this bully wants them to do. They cut off their resources and they're struggling. No one is allowed. We're not going to allow anyone to send any gas to these people, and their lifeline depends on it. Shut down the economy. Believers struggle to bring that, and they send, alhamdulillah, the Islamic Republic sent them the gas that they needed to be able to sustain themselves. There are believers that are struggling to not allow this injustice to carry on, but they are few in number, and they are oppressed. In the media, they are shown as the terrorists. They are shown as bad people. Their leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is considered a dictator, a tyrant. These are all so many levels of oppression against these great believers who are sacrificing their lives to bring justice and to free and liberate the people of the globe, not only their own people. And this is where we have that line in this. For these people, we have that line in Dua al-Iftitah, Allahumma inna nashku ilayk faqta nabiyyina salawatullah alayhi wa alih wa ghaybata waliyyina wa qillata adadina wa kathrata aduwina. These lines are for them. If someone like me, I'm not struggling, I'm not part of the fight for justice, then complain about what? I'm trying to use this unjust system to fill my pockets with money. What am I complaining about? It's a system that for someone who wants to violate the others, if they have the intelligence, the evil intelligence, the evil genius of being able to steal from others, this is a system you can do it. If I'm part of that system, then what am I complaining about? Allahumma inna nashku ilayk faqta nabiyyina. That's for those who are fighting against this injustice on a global scale. And they see their numbers are few. They're being treated unjustly in so many different ways that even the oppressed people of the world in cases think that these are bad people. That's how horrible the injustice is. Ya Allah, these are the conditions we live in, and these are the struggles that the believers are going through. We ask you by the right of the Imam of our time, we ask you by the right of the Hujjah of the time, we ask you by the right of our Prophet, by the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the one, the Shaheed of justice. We ask you by the right of Fatima al-Zahra, the Siddiqatul Kubra, As-Siddiqatul Kubra, the one who was true in her thoughts, in her heart, in her beliefs, in her words, in her actions, to the justice of Allah, and is a Shaheed for the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a very fundamental level of having a just ruler. She gave her life to establish the rule of the just. Ya Allah, by her right, we ask you to rid the world of the injustice that we are seeing. Ya Allah, hasten the return of our Imam. Ya Allah, help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our mujahideen, throughout the globe, though anyone who does jihad for justice on whatever scale, Ya Allah, help them all, protect them all, especially the just ulama who are guiding people towards that, and maraja who should be guiding people towards that, and above all, our leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah bless him and protect him and prolong his life, who is leading this under the guidance of the 12th Imam in his absence. Prolong his life, protect him, and help us listen to him and move in his direction. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the injustices they're facing. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ